Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more. Hosted by Duchess.
Here we go again. Here we go again. It is I, and here we go again. Hey, family. How's everything doing? How's everyone entering into the new year? I'm entering into the new year with lots of exciting things going on. Some pleasurable, some exciting, but not so pleasurable. The last you heard from me, I had this horrible hacking cough going on. And like I promised you on the show, I was going to go see the doctor the next day. And once again, like I told you on the show, that they were going to test me for COVID. That would be the fourth test. And it was negative. So they figured I had some type of bacterial infection. And so they gave me an antibiotic. And that made it possible for me to go on my cruise. Yes, I went on a Sober Sisters cruise, Royal Caribbean, Liberty of the Seas, and had a marvelous, marvelous time. A fantastic time. And some of you know how I pushed really hard before going on that cruise to try and figure out what they were going to do with a surgery for this kidney condition that's been going on. Since July of last year, well, I finally got a surgery date. And it seems that my surgery is a full day surgery. They told me I would be on that table for a minimum of 6 hours. Open because there's madness going on internally, and I'm not so worried about it, but it's kind of trifling and struggling, you know. It's kind of overwhelming to try to prepare your aftercare, and you don't know what you're going to need for aftercare after the surgery, and at the same time knowing that this is a massive surgery and you have to prepare your afterlife as well. And that's been a struggle for me and a challenge for me, trying to do both at the same time, because usually people don't have to do both of them simultaneously. So there you go. It's aftercare. Should I come home from the hospital? Who's going to take care of me? Will I have to go into rehab? How do I prepare for that? Will I come home? Do I need meals on the wheels? Will I be able to cook for myself? How do I get visiting nurses in here and all that other happy good stuff? And then there's afterlife, you know, where am I going to be laid to rest? How am I going to be wrapped and shrouded as a Muslim? What's going to happen with all of that? What's going to happen with this stuff in my apartment that I'm trying to get rid of now before I even have a surgery? So there's not a whole lot of mess going on in this lifetime of mine, afterlife. So, yeah, we're going to be doing January's Gratitude Month. And I want you to know I'm filled with gratitude. I'm so filled with gratitude that I didn't know about this particular happening, this surgery, before my cruise, because I would have had it on my mind the whole entire weekend I was away. And that was not the time to have all of that madness going on in my head, because the five women that I attended the cruise with, they were phenomenal. We spent a lot of good times together. And we happened to be on the Royal Caribbean cruise liner that picked up some immigrants or refugees that were on this little dinghy rowboat in vicious seas Saturday, our first day, full day out. And there were 17 people, including two babies, on that little rowboat being swept away and, you know, jerked around in that rough waters. because the waters were so rough, we couldn't even dock that day, go into dock so people could get off and do their excursions for the day. But the captain pulled the people up. We have videos of them being brought on ship, and they gave them medical attention and helped them get cleaned up, and they, of course, isolated them from the rest of the passengers on the ship. And they held them there and kept them there and took care of them and fed them until they could dock the next day in Nassau, Bahamas, and turn them over to the Coast Guard. So that was an exciting thing, you know. And I'm sure those people were filled with an enormous amount of gratitude. And there were some of us on the ship who were filled with gratitude that the ship found them, because there was another little boat somewhere out there with 20 people on it that they hadn't found yet. They had no clue. So let's get on with the gratitude talk that we are going to be doing, hopefully, for the entire year. And we started with January. Some people received and ordered Angeles Arian's book, Living in Gratitude, and they're going to follow along with us with the book. And then those of you who don't have the book can follow along and take notes, because I'm going to be sharing the entire book with you just about. And I'm hopefully going to be able to share with you my reflections and my thoughts. And when they say do these exercises, I'm going to share with you what exercises I'm using to share. And it just so happens that during this end of January of sharing, I'm going to use my up and coming March 8th surgery to look at and use that as my guide for my end of January part of this living in gratitude. So we found out last session that grateful people tend to be happy people. And we also realized that the daily practice of gratitude significantly increases happiness and states of well-being within human beings. There was a field of study that verified that positive and optimistic people experience more happiness and tend to be more grateful. So the more grateful you are, the happier you are, the more happier you are, the more grateful you can be. And they started talking about having reflections on what we had discussed last show. And I didn't have to go all the way too far back to bring those of you who missed the last show up forward. So we'll just go ahead and start. And I'm going to do the reflections. And the part of the reflections, that's the part of us that wants to become is fearless. That part of us that desires, that wholeheartedly desires to become, is that fearless part of us. In contemplative practice of any kind, questions provoke inquiry, reflection, and conscious awareness of what we are learning or what is being revealed to us about our own current inner and outer work. So they have asked us to select two or three of the most meaningful questions for you to explore and reply on them. And they listed six bullet points. I've chosen two, but I'm going to go through the bullet points so that you know that you can select one or two or three from these reflections. And then I'll tell you what my reflections are. The first reflection, you know, is is considered like the mythical god Janus. That's where we get the month January, the name of the month from. And as reflected in the Robinson Jeffers quote at the beginning of this particular chapter, his quote was that we want to gather, forget gratitude, we want to gather, be gathering the stone strength of the past and the wings of the future. So what circumstances are requiring you to draw upon both? The next bullet point is, what are you learning from the four themes of soul making and new beginnings this month? Love, death, power. Love is your desire for union and meaningful connection. Death is your ability to release, let go, and surrender. Power is your ability to sustain right use of power and stay connected to your heart and your integrity. Then there's time. That's the fourth one. That's your relationship to time. It reveals your capacity to trust whatever is present each day you can handle. Otherwise, it would not be there. And I feel that way. It would not be there if it wasn't meant to be there. The surprising or unexpected happenings of each day reveal your attachments and teach you about your ability or inability to remain flexible. The next bullet point is, in what way are you manifesting the five simple qualities of childhood or childlike oneness? You know, and that childlike oneness we revealed last show. Those childlike openness were not worrying about your daily bread, because little children don't worry about where they want to get some food unless, you know, they're in dire straits with the household. Little kids don't worry about that. There's always something there. They just know it. Childlike not complaining about whenever you might fall sick. The other one is sharing whatever you have with others. Then there's this childlike openness. When you fight or quarrel, not holding a grudge and making up quickly. Little children do that. They fight over stuff, and next thing you know, they happy, happy, joy, joy, you know, the next moment. And showing your vulnerability when frightened or threatened. We as adults, we have a hard time doing that. Next bullet point is, what epiphanies or new insights are motivating positive changes for you at this time? The next thing you can select is, what childlike curiosity and wonder are you currently bringing to your work, your relationships, your finances, your health, and personal growth? And the last one that she lists is, for the month of January, track those experiences for which you are particularly grateful. How have they contributed to your happiness and well-being? Well, I'm going to let you know the three that I chose. Yeah, I chose four. So I chose the first one, gathering the stone strength of my past. Okay. And then I will describe how I use the wings of the future to pull me into a state of gratitude. So gathering the stone strength, and I told you I'm going to use this around this massive surgery that I'm about to have because it's a scary endeavor. The strength from the past. I had a colon resection 20 years ago, erupted. The impurities were in my body, but they were contained. They didn't contaminate my system. And I survived that colon resection. The doctor that did that colon resection 20 years ago, he's going to be doing my surgery. He's going to be one of the doctors doing the surgery March the 8th. The other stone strength from my past that I'm gathering from is that I had a AAA open repair. Now, a lot of people don't know what an AAA openly pair is, but I've had many a doctor, many a nurse that told me I must have had angels around me because that open repair was my aorta ready to rupture. Your aorta ruptures, you bleed out. So I survived that surgery because right now my heart is pumping blood through a stent. I survived. I lived that surgery. The other stone strength from my past that I'm gathering is that the surgeon that did my surgery 20 years ago, he has requested his partner surgeon, who was the urologist, who's going to be monitoring my ureter and my kidney. That doctor is called the MacGyver of this particular type of surgery. Now, what am I gathering? What wings am I gathering towards my future to keep me knowing that I want to stay here? My gratitude. My granddaughter, age 18, contacted me and asked me to help her with her college stuff. And I have to be here now to help her because I'm the closest in the family to being a guidance counselor. I graduated 3 college students of my own, and I have 2 bachelor's of art degrees and a master's degree. So I am honored that she asked me to assist her with her college stuff, she says. Grandma, I don't know about all this college stuff. Do you think you can help me? 2, another wing of the future. I enjoy working with my grandchildren. I also look towards continued help with my sponsees. And one of my sponsees has 7 years of sobriety through my work with her over the last 7 years. I became her sponsor the first day she stopped her drinking. So I want to continue doing that work. I don't want to leave that alone. And that's what I'm grasping towards from my future wing. The next thing that I chose, the second thing that I chose to reflect on, because the book says 2 or 3, I selected, what are you learning from the 4 themes of soul making and new beginnings this month? Now, to remind you of what that is talking about, let me go back to page 27 and read that. What is soul making? The new beginnings and of soul making. Okay. Daily attention to those things that have been and that have heart and meaning for us, and the courage to follow where they lead. So let's talk about love. Love speaks to our desire for union. Death raises questions about our destiny and letting go. Power challenges us with issues of vulnerability. And time forces us to see our lives in terms of a play, a drama, or a story. Each year we encounter all 4 concerns in our process of unfoldment. Love, death, power, and time are all universal forces. As the year begins, they challenge each of us to redream and reimagine what is most important for us to bring fully to our attention and to our intention. In the new year, the love in our heart calls to be deepened and to release that which no longer serves us. Our renewed power has an opportunity to open to our vulnerabilities and possibilities. Our relationship to time challenges us to trust and prioritize what is most important for us to address or accomplish during the day. Each year we begin anew to align with these 4 forces in more imaginative and creative ways. What new relationship do you want to develop with the universal forces of love, death, power, and time this year. Well, these are the ones that I chose. This is what I reflected upon. Love. I love my four children and for various reasons have been distant. It's time to reconcile and close the gap a little. No need to protect myself as much. Death. In life or in physical death, I have chosen the process of letting go stuff accumulated over the years, either sell or give away, and do that now, prior to surgery. Two antique marble top tables, they need to be gone. Clothes no longer wearing, waiting for me to lose weight, they need to get out of here. CDs, DVDs, empty out file cabinets of saved literature or business contracts, 20 to 30 years old. It's got to go. I have a month to do it. Power. I need to ask the questions I desire to know to prepare for life or after death. Then surrender my will and life over to my higher power and have the comfort in knowing that I have two surgeons with the skill and know-how to do what they feel is best for me to survive. And then there is time. Acceptance is the key. My friend Peggy said to me the other day that I needed to find comfort in my recovery's 11th step. And that 11th step, because I talk about the 12 steps of recovery, that 11th step says, sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with my God or the God of my understanding, praying only for knowledge of his will and the power to carry that out. So, we don't need religion to pray, and we don't even need spiritual words. All we have to do is think it, say it, and turn it over. You know, I know that my mother used to say that nothing happens that's not destined to happen. It wouldn't be happening if it wasn't meant to happen. And as far as meditation is concerned, prayer is talking to your creator and meditation is listening and being still and allowing that energy to come forth for you. The next one that I chose was, where is it? In what way are you manifesting the five simple qualities of childlike openness? I'm not worrying about my daily bread. I eat very well. I have the food pantry. I have Meals on Wheels. You know, I have enough money to buy food that I need. I'm not worried. I have friends that take care of me. If I'm hungry, I know where to go. I have a friend. Her family does their holiday meals. And next thing I know, I got these all these little baggies with all kinds of whatever she had for dinner with her family. I got a baggie with macaroni and cheese. I got a baggie with collard greens. I got a little baggie with meat. I got a little. So I don't worry about my daily bread. And I do share whatever I have with just about anyone. We just went on the cruise, and there was a woman who had never gone on a cruise before, like me. Her income was is modest, like mine. And one of the cruise mates needed a roommate, and I said, why don't we take her? I said, but she may not be able to pay for the cruise, but she lives in Florida already. So she doesn't have to find a flight from where she's going from where she's, you know, from where she lives to the cruise ship. And everybody said that was a good idea. And I was the one that said we could each pay a fifth or a fourth of her cruise fee, the amount of money she needed for her to go on the cruise. So it's things like that. You know, they thought it was a wonderful idea. And, yeah, anything I can do to help somebody, I share with whatever I have. I just do. When I go to the food bank, they usually overload me with stuff, so much stuff that it would go to waste if I kept it in my refrigerator. I go around my building giving things here and there and everywhere. The third thing of the five, I want to mend my distance with my children. And four, by not complaining about my need for surgery, and I'm accepting what is and recanting the facts. And the last one, sharing with family and friends and allowing myself to let them know what I think my needs are and my willingness to accept their help. I'm one of those people that have a hard time accepting that which or asking for help. Because my past level of social worker, I'm supposed to be the one that knows how to help everybody else. And I always think that somebody else's problem is a lot greater than mine. So I don't ask for help when I need it. But I'm going to do my best to do that, to change that. Thank you, January. Then there is the one on what epiphanies or new insights are motivating positive changes for you at this time. One, no need to worry about March 8th because God is already there. So why am I going to worry about the surgery? I'm not afraid of death. It's just that I feel like I'm not ready to go yet. But if it comes to that, I'm sure it's going to be an amazing experience. Contrary to what most people think, I think that transition is going to be phenomenal whenever it happens. So there's no need to worry about March 8th because God is already there. Two, the outcome has already happened. Three, to really let go and let God. And four, if this wasn't meant to be, then it wouldn't be happening. And it went on to talk about childhood curiosities. These are reflections that I did after reading this book. And I'm sharing them with you because I just need to let it out, let it go. And I see the lights lighting up. And I'm sorry if I'm boring some people, but this was January's Living in Gratitude for me. Okay. What childlike curiosities and wonder are you currently bringing to your work, your relationships, your finances, your health, and personal growth? One, how much I can receive by selling some antiques. That's a childlike fantasy. I'm getting ready to get down up in this apartment and start just, you know, purging. How much weight can I lose in a healthy way to help my doctors help me? Three, planning the trips I intend to go on with the success of my surgery. Four, building a stronger relationship with my adult children. Five, taking my grandchildren to Australia. That's what I want to do. Those are my childlike fantasies. Now, there's some more that you all might want to try. One of the last ones is for the month of January. You can track those experiences for which you are particularly grateful. How have they contributed to your happiness and well-being? Woo-hoo. Now, she goes on to talk about some practices that you can do. One of the practices I know that you can do is every day. Every day you can get a journal and write down three things you're grateful for every single day, 3 to 5 things you're grateful for. But let's talk about some of her suggestions. Now, practices are essential for integrating what we are learning. We can select 2 or 3 of hers, of the following practices that most specifically apply to your current experience, and they might help you the most at this time. So I'm going to let you, I'm going to read hers, and then I'm going to share with you the 2 that I chose. These are called the practices. The first practice, create your own gratitude poem, prayer, or saying for this month. The next one, start your own meaningful collection of gratitude materials, what family prayers have been passed on to you, what poems or passages of literature have you committed to memory. Remember that anything you have committed to memory has meaning to you. The next one, practice the Hopi elders' advice before beginning anew. Stop, consider, change, and correct in the quadrants of work, relationships, and finances. The next one, at the end of each day, notice what or who made you happy. Silently give gratitude for each person or circumstance that brought joy into your life on that day. The next one, each week, choose to experience something new. Do something that you have not done before. New experiences offer new possibilities and opportunities for growth. And lastly, of the practices, take an action every day to support and strengthen your right relationship with and connection to the resources of love, death, power, and time. Now, I chose the first 2 to practice. And you have to excuse me, man. I got to get some... Kind of wet my whistle. I just love water. Okay. You said create your own poem, prayer, or saying with gratitude. Sometimes I like to say to my creator, reveal yourself to me and through me, that I may be a shining example of your divine light in human form. And then there are times when I like to say thank you for my excellent health, my abundant wealth, unconditional love, and perfect self-expression. And so it is. I love that one. Then there's one that I walk around the house saying to my spirit. Yeah, I like those 2. Those 2 are my little sayings, especially the one, you know, thank you, dear God, for my excellent health, abundant wealth, unconditional love, and perfect self-expression. And so it is. The next one on her list is start your own meaningful collection of gratitude materials, family prayers. I talk to my spirit bank. I find some pennies around here. I throw them in the jar. I place them gently in the jar. And I say, this money, I'm placing it to my bank. This money, I'm placing into my bank. And it grows my riches. I see that I'm surrounded by so much abundance, and my every need is being provided for by the unlimited abundance of the universe. Because when I say that, I know that my abundance is growing and growing and growing, and I'm appreciating the growth, and I'm appreciating all that I see in this entire apartment. And it's a lot. I remember when I had one bedroom with one bed, one computer desk, and that was it. This money I'm placing in my bank is adding to my wealth. My wealth and prosperity increases each day. I have lots of money, and I'm grateful for the abundance that surrounds me. I see that I'm surrounded by so much wealth, and my every need is being provided for by the unlimited abundance of the universe for all of this. I used to look around that little room for all of this and so much more. I am grateful. And every time I moved, my gratitude and my place got bigger and bigger, and my abundance got huger and huger. So now I'm in a two-bathroom apartment with a living room and a kitchen. And I have access to an entire building that has a library, open space library at one end of it, a solarium where I hold recovery meetings at the other end, and there's an exercise room downstairs, and there's a game room, and if I go down to the main lobby, I mean, I can find some friends down here right now in the gathering. You know, there's some of them eat dinner together down in that room. So, yeah, that's my gratitude. Okay, now, for those of you who have the book, you can follow along. For those of you who don't have the book, I'm going to give it to you, because I think the rest of this book is meant for me to share. Now, we're going to have a review and integration. Gratitude in the four quadrants of life. Notice what you are grateful for in the four quadrants of your life. Work, which is your creative service. Relationship, that's your friends, colleagues, and family. Finances, and real livelihood. And health and well-being. The center of the four quadrants represents the place of developing character and connecting to your own spiritual growth and development. The center is influenced, impacted, and informed by all four quadrants. To help you discover the sources of your gratitude, answer the following tracking questions and see which quadrant or quadrants are emphasized more for you this month. And looking at the illustration, which you can't see because you don't have a book, of the four quadrants, but the four quadrants are on opposite sides, and then down in the center of the circle, it's called spiritual growth and developing character. That's what the picture looks like. So don't worry if you don't have a book. But when you ask these questions, the first one, what are you seeing that is similar to last month's work? What is different or significantly changing? Review the four quadrants of your life. What is being most activated in either your work, your relationships, your finances, or health? Next. What internal insights and discoveries are you making that have strengthened your character and fostered spiritual growth this month? Next, what are you noticing that is new, expanded, or being released in each quadrant of your life in the month of January? And last, what are you grateful for in each of your life's quadrants? And how are you expressing your thankfulness? What are you doing to see and feel and know how grateful you are in each one of your quadrants? Your work, what are you grateful for there? Relationships, family, friends, colleagues, what are you grateful for in that quadrant? Finances and right livelihood, what are you grateful for in that quadrant? And your health and well-being, what are you grateful for? The next thing we're going to do, or she has asked us to do, are blessings learning, mercies, and protections. Express your gratitude by reflecting upon the major blessings you have given and received during this month, the major learnings you have given and received during January this month, the major mercies you have given and received during this month, and the major protections you have given and received during this month. And lastly, but not leastly, to begin anew, the following questions can help you go deeper in your exploration of these four portals to gratitude. External questions. Who or what has inspired you? I put my son A and my granddaughter Tiana. Who or what has challenged you? I put my son Atif and my daughter Veronese. Who or what is surprising you? I put my youngest son, Siraj. And who or what is touching or moving you? I put my granddaughter, Nevaeh. So these are the external questions of my portals. Now, internal, what is strengthening within my nature? And I put compassion. What is softening within my nature? I put forgiveness. What is opening within my nature? What's opening? The ability to let go and let God. And what is deepening within my nature? And that is acceptance. Acceptance is the key. So there you go. That's the way I saw this book and the way I responded to January's gratitude month. The prayer for January was, may we appreciate and remember. Today may be appreciated. Today may we appreciate this food and remember those who are hungry. May we appreciate our family and friends and remember those who are alone. May we appreciate our health and remember those who are sick. May we appreciate the freedoms we have and remember those who suffer injustice and tyranny. Peace on earth, a Buddhist blessing for food. Next month, we're going to be looking at the heart. Oh, you knew that, didn't you? You know, that's February. You know, February is Valentine's Day, and that's the heart month. And the prayers for success. God gave you a gift of 86,400 seconds today. Have you used one today to say thank you? And with that, I don't have any much more to say. I want to let you know that I'm happy that you're here with me. If you want to reach me, you can reach me by email, duchessontheair@gmail.com. And I'll be very happy to share one-on-one with you what I'm experiencing with this book. But in the meantime, I want all of you to know that I'm loving you all. And we're going to close now because I'm beginning to lose my voice. And I'm glad it didn't go all out on me before it was time to complete this book, Chapter 1, January. Okay, lovies. I'm off. Stay good, stay blessed, and be strong and live in gratitude because that's what we're going to have as a successful entry into this new year. Gratitude is the key. Love you. Thank you.